As we divert once again from our ongoing series in the Gospel of Mark, today we're going to look at the book of Ruth in its entirety, quite an undertaking, but we're going to focus on one person in that book entitled the message, Consider Naomi. Consider Naomi, a mother in Israel indeed. Let's ask God's blessing upon the exposition of his word. And so, Father, we take the words of this hymn as our prayer. Break this bread of life, the word of God, to us. Lord, show us the things that are in your word. Bring forth through your servant, by the power of your spirit, those nuggets of truth that inform us and transform us and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we commit this message to you and look forward to how you will bless us through it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of introduction, let's put our consideration of Naomi in historical context. Remember, as I said in our recent message, our Christian faith is rooted in history. Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, the familiar figures you know from this book, were real people. They lived, and God, who gives us precepts and commandments in his word, has given us these real people and the accounts of what happened to them as examples for us. In Judges chapter 2, verses 8 and 10, we read these words. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. And it's in that context that the events described in the book of Ruth take place. It says at the very beginning of the book that it was during the time of the judges. Well, what kind of time was that? Well, it was a time, as we've just read, where the people were forgetting their roots. They were forgetting the Lord. They were forgetting the great things that God had done for their forefathers as he brought them out of Egypt with a mighty arm, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so we find it the exact same words written twice in the book of Judges describing that time. In those days of the judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It was before God raised up David and the kingdom. It was a chaotic time. In other words, like today, everybody was saying, well, this might be true for you, but it's not true for me. Or they were saying, this might be wrong for you, but it's not wrong for me. We all have our own morality. Who are you to force yours upon me? Everybody was doing their own thing. This is what is known as moral relativism. That might be a mouthful, but that's what it basically means, that everybody's just doing their own thing. They've rejected God's standard. There is no standard, and there's chaos in society. It wrought havoc then, during the time of the judges, and it is doing so now. And it is up to us, by the power and grace of God, to be the salt and light that will preserve and restore our society. Well, that insanity ruled the day then, and sadly in our society, that insanity is destroying us. May God cause his people to rise up and strive against it effectively. Well, to that lawless chaos, add famine. A famine had driven Abram to Egypt. Another one drove his son Isaac to the same place. A famine drove Jacob to send his sons to Egypt to find food. And now this man Elimelech, Naomi's husband, Elimelech of Judea, is driven from his homeland and his town of Bethlehem by a famine, along with his wife Naomi and their two sons. And so we begin to consider Naomi as a woman living in a godless time and a woman enduring severe trials. We might call them the trials of Mara, because when Naomi eventually does return to her home town of Bethlehem, that's how she identifies herself. In Ruth 1, verse 20, she says to her friends and neighbors, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." That's what that name Mara means, bitter. It's the same root word in the original language as the word in Exodus 15, where shortly after crossing the Red Sea, the people come to a place where they couldn't drink the water because the water was bitter. So they named the place Mara. Naomi calls herself bitter. And I've listed three areas of trial. You'll see them there in your outline. Three areas of trial that Naomi faced: financial hardship and change, widowhood, and outliving her sons. Most of us have endured financial hardship at some point in our lives, the equivalent of one of these ancient famines, a time of scarcity, wondering how we would make ends meet. This is what Naomi faced. Profound changes in life are certainly trying matters as well. As a congregation, we are experiencing them now. Some of us by departing to new places, others by remaining here to experience the changes that will result in the life of this small body. How have we responded? Or how are we responding to financial hardship and change? How are we reacting when these things come upon us? God is sifting out our hearts and looking to see how we react. Secondly, she endured widowhood. And though we are considering a wife and a mother, there is also widowerhood, the male counterpart. There are among us those who have experienced this or its equivalent, the end of a marriage under circumstances that can make a former husband or wife say that he or she would have preferred death in comparison to what occurred. There are others who have lived a single life, though perhaps that is not what he or she desired. Again, what type of response have you made to God if you have experienced such things? And finally, Naomi outlived her sons. Within a space of 10 years, according to chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, Naomi had lost her husband and both of her sons. How would Naomi have felt in the 11th year on Mother's Day if there had been such a thing in her time? We have more than one mother among us who has tasted the unfathomable sorrow of losing a child. In our society, so like the one at the time of the judges, lawless, chaotic, moral relativism, many mothers are experiencing untold grief after having abortions. If you mothers, or if any of us, have experienced such things as Naomi did, and all within such a short time, Have we responded as the one who named herself bitter responded? Have we accused God of dealing bitterly with us? God commands us to repent of that attitude. God commended, he praised Job when Job responded to severe trials with those well-known words, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The hearts of the ones who love God are hearts who want to see God vindicated, whatever else may happen. God is right. God is doing the right thing. God knows what he's doing. Those who recognize that his ways are not our ways, who trust that he is working all things together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Well, Naomi, no doubt, had a day of great joy when she married Elimelech. Maybe they had just a wonderful, perfect wedding day. And she had more joy when her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were born. But motherhood is not all days of joy. We're born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And though God does call us to trust him through the darkness, he is also the God of unexpected blessings. Grace triumphs again and again. Abraham unexpectedly received Isaac back as if from the dead when he thought God had given him a very bitter assignment indeed to slay his own son. And that son, Isaac, unexpectedly found water just as the woman at the well speaking to Jesus unexpectedly found a far greater water than the water she came to get. Jacob unexpectedly received the blessing of learning that Joseph was alive, though he had thought him dead for many years. Well, so it was with Naomi. Yes, she had experienced all those terrible things. But to her surprise, Ruth didn't abandon her, but stuck by her in her trying and uncertain circumstances. This widow, this bereaved mother, found companionship and love in her formerly unbelieving daughter-in-law, who now called on the name of the true and living God. As one seeking to be a faithful biblical preacher, I can't promise you temporal, unexpected blessings. If you want that, you're going to have to turn on your TV so you can listen to a false prophet make all sorts of unbiblical promises. But I can certainly proclaim that if you trust in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, blessings not only unexpected, but literally beyond your ability to expect or conceive, await you. Paul said that when he was miraculously taken up into the third heaven, he was shown things so great and wonderful that they were either impossible for him to write about and talk about or unlawful to do so. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him. Prepare for unexpected blessings, Christian, possibly here on earth, most certainly in the life to come. God has promised that his kingdom will prevail both now and in the life to come. And how did Naomi respond to her unexpected blessing, her relationship with Ruth? It was by being a blessing herself. She didn't remain retreated into that bitterness, but Ruth helped her to blossom and come forth and be a blessing in turn to Ruth. Knowing the ways of her people, she acted wisely on Ruth's behalf to pave the way for Ruth to find a husband. So it looks like, according to Scripture, there's nothing wrong with godly and discreet matchmaking. It looks like Naomi learned that deliberately focusing on another's needs helps one take his or her heart off of self and its needs. And it all winds up with a blessed outcome for pleasant. Just as the name she wanted to give herself means bitter, Naomi's real name means pleasant. We read in that messianic 16th Psalm, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." And as it was with her self-given name, Mara, bitter, so Naomi's real name in the original language means pleasant. There was a blessed outcome from all her trials for Naomi, for pleasant. And it was very evident as her friends and neighbors proclaimed at the end of the book, chapter 4, verses 14 to 17. "Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, 'There is a son born to Naomi.' And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And so that brings me to the main point, the main thrust and purpose of this message. All the people and all the things that happened to them in the book of Ruth speak to us, as does all Scripture, about Christ, the stem of Jesse's rod, the one who is the son of David, and yet David's Lord, the one who in the book of Revelation proclaims himself the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Here were his beginnings, his genealogy with Boaz and Ruth. Not only was Naomi delivered from all her trials and restored to joy after all her sorrow through Boaz, the earthly kinsman redeemer, but Naomi had a greater kinsman redeemer through whom she gained an eternal inheritance. Boaz bought the field, and he got Ruth in the deal, so to speak. He was the kinsman redeemer. He was the near relative who was able to restore to Naomi what she had lost. Even Elimelech, Naomi's husband, who died, was, we might say, figuratively resurrected because his name was preserved among his people. Obed was raised up to take the place of Elimelech and his sons who had died. And we trust that he, that is Elimelech, will be bodily resurrected on the last day. He has a kinsman redeemer. As we do regarding Job's children, because of God's covenant promises, we trust him even concerning those two sons that Naomi lost, Mahlon and Chilion. We believe that they too will rise to a better life. They're only mentioned by name in Scripture. That's all we know about them. Like Job's children, we're not told much. But we have solid biblical grounds for believing all these sons and daughters were removed from the earth to a better place. They had a kinsman redeemer. Ruth was from Moab, the same nation whose king had hired Balaam, the mad prophet we read about in this morning's scripture reading. King of Moab had hired Balaam to curse Israel. Ruth was from that nation. She was redeemed from a pagan culture. Stone idols were abandoned, and Naomi's God, the true God, became Ruth's God. Not only the saints found in the book of Ruth, not only all of the biblical saints, but all the saints from all history have the same redemption. Saints, that is, holy ones, God's people, are not born that way. No one is born a saint. They are all people who had to be born again, born from above. Because the one who descended from Boaz, the earthly kinsman redeemer, is their Savior. Jesus is the great kinsman redeemer. He's the great near relative who comes in and brings salvation and restoration where there had been such deprivation. This is the heart and soul of the book of Ruth. This is the chief thing to consider as we consider Naomi. Boaz redeeming the field, restoring Elimelech's name, becoming a husband to Ruth, and a restorer to Naomi was all done because he was Elimelech's near kinsman. He was a close relative to Elimelech. And this pictures the Son of God becoming a near kinsman, a kinsman redeemer to us. Our redemption, our salvation, is an incarnational redemption. The Son of God took on our nature. He became our close relative, so close that he was like us in every way, except that he was without sin. And he did so for the very purpose of redeeming us. He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Boaz bought a field because he saw in that field a pearl of great price by the name of Ruth. And like Boaz did because of his love for Ruth, the Lord Jesus Christ died to redeem the world, the field of the world, because of his love for his bride, the church that is in it. He took upon himself our nature, that he might accomplish redemption, not with pieces of money given in the court, in the gate of the people, but by his own blood shed on the cross, by his body broken on the cross. That's how he redeemed us. We are like Naomi and Ruth and all of those who were blessed and redeemed because of what Boaz did. We receive the blessing of eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, as we consider Naomi and those associated with her, Ruth, her sons, her husband, her friends and neighbors, we see this clear picture emerging of your Son, who is our kinsman redeemer, the one who became like us, who took on our nature, that he might redeem us, that he might restore to us all that we have lost, whether by famine, by death, Lord, whatsoever we have lost, he will restore to us many more fold. How we thank you, Father, for our great kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.